ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, The Renunciation of Kardama Muni, Text 36. Oops. Oh, Krishna. I tell you. It's far out. All right. Etan me janma loke smen Mamukshunam Durashayat Prasankyanaya Tatvanam Samatayatma Darshane Etan Mejanma Lokesmen Mumukshunam Durashayat Prasankhyanaya Tatvanam Samatayatma Darshane Etanme Janma Lokesmen Mumukshunam Durashayat Prasankhyanaya Tatvanam Samatayatma Darshane Etanme Janma Lokesmen Mumukshunam Durashayat Prasankhyanaya Tatvanam Samatayatma Darshane Etat this may my janma birth loke in the world asmen in this mumukshunam by those great sages seeking liberation durashayat, from unnecessary material desires, prasankhyanaya, for explaining, tatvanam, of the truths, samataya, which is highly esteemed, atmadarshane, in self-realization. Translation. My appearance in this world is especially to explain the philosophy of Sankhya, which is highly esteemed for self-realization by those desiring freedom from the entanglement of unnecessary material desires. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here, the word durashayat is very significant. Dura refers to trouble or dukkha, miseries. Ashayat means from the shelter. We, conditioned souls, have taken shelter of the material body, which is full of troubles and miseries. Foolish people cannot understand the situation, and this is called ignorance, illusion, or the spell of Maya. Human society should very seriously understand that the body itself is the source of all miserable life. Modern civilization is supposed to be making advancement in scientific knowledge. But what is this scientific knowledge? It is based on bodily comforts only. Without knowledge that however comfortably one maintains his body, the body is destructible. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Antavanta ime deha, these bodies are destined to be destroyed. Nityas yokta sharirana refers to the living soul or the living spark within the body. That soul is eternal, but the body is not eternal. For our activity, we must have a body. Without a body, without sense organs, there is no activity. But people are not inquiring whether it is possible to have an eternal body. Actually, they aspire for an eternal body, because even though they engage in sense enjoyment, that sense enjoyment is not eternal. They are therefore in want of something which they can enjoy eternally, but they do not understand how to attain that perfection. Sankhya philosophy, therefore, as stated herein by Kapila Dev, is tatvanam. The Sankhya philosophy system is designed to afford understanding of the real truth. What is that real truth? The real truth is knowledge of how to get out of the material body, which is the source of all trouble. Lord Kapila's incarnation or descent is especially meant for this purpose. That is clearly stated here. Okay. All right, so just a moment. Hope the sound is acceptable enough on Zoom. Picture's pretty dark, but anyway, at least it's there. So, let us read the verse again. It is Lord Kapila speaking. Etan me janma loke smin. Mumukshunam durashayat. Prasankhyanaya tatvanam. Samatayatma darshane. My appearance in this world is especially to explain the philosophy of Sankhya, which is highly esteemed for self-realization by those desiring freedom from the entanglement of unnecessary material desires. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyachade Chatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramunityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpataribhyascha kripasindubhyevacha. Paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. Yes. So Lord Kapila is explaining about some aspects of his appearance within this material world. He's come especially to explain the philosophy of Sankhya, which he says is highly esteemed for self-realization by those desiring freedom from the entanglement of unnecessary material desires. Yes. You know, we mentioned the other day how Srila Prabhupada has explained that that Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, is the highest form of yoga in that it makes the closest, strongest connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The link is the strongest. Yoga, of course, means to link, ultimately to link with God. And so all these different yogas, there are so many, that's the idea behind them. Ultimately, at least, to link with God. In other words, make a real and solid and substantial relationship with the Supreme Lord. And of all the different forms of yoga, the one which makes the best link, the strongest, deepest, just most wonderful, fully wonderful link is bhakti yoga or Krishna consciousness through the practice of devotional service. Well, bhakti yoga means the practice of devotional service. So therefore, if we examine carefully, then we will see within bhakti yoga different elements which, you know, we wouldn't really say they necessarily come from other forms of yoga, but they are present in other forms of yoga. Like you are, we have three and a half who are sitting cross-legged, like in the most classic hatha yoga position. It's okay, I'm not sitting like that either. So it's the classic, it really is. We have, three and three quarters now. Anyway, don't worry about it. Yes. So it's not necessarily that this has been sort of borrowed from or taken from, stolen from or something, from hatha yoga or the process of asana, which is a part of Ashtanga Yoga. It's one of the eight angas. But it's just shared between the two of them. And to chant the mantras. It's not that this has been borrowed from Dhyana Yoga. Dhyana meaning to meditate. It's not like that. But it's just that is present in both. And other things, Sankhya, Krishna consciousness, particularly if you read, if you read Prabhupada's books, actually, if you make a practice of reading Prabhupada's books every day for some time, like at least half an hour, maybe an hour, and really trying to absorb yourself, then you see how analytical Prabhupada is and just how analytical Krishna consciousness is. Even just this verse and purport is extremely analytical. It's very deep, extracting meanings, real meanings, from things which, anyway, you could say in some cases they're like hints. In some cases they're like hints. But then the understanding is drawn out and you see, oh, this is really some important information here. There's so much. There's a massive amount in Prabhupada's books, massive. I was going to say, actually, if you study the readings of Srila Jiva Goswami, and of course that's also the case. Yeah. Sri Sri Radha Radhanath Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Right, okay. So, yeah. So that Sankhya philosophy, which Lord Kapila Dev particularly came to present, which is very valuable, is appreciated as being very valuable by all these different people, certain people, people who want to get free from unnecessary material desires. It's there in Krishna consciousness. It's there so much. It's there so much in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness then is very complete in terms of processes, whatever you could possibly do to help with self-realization, God-realization, it's there, amply there in Krishna consciousness. Yes, so here, Lord Kapila Dev, the last thing he says in the verse is that Sankhya is appreciated by those desiring freedom from the entanglement of unnecessary material desires. So what does that mean? Does that mean there are necessary material desires? Actually, as Prabhupada explains here, there are necessary material desires. Prabhupada says here that Prabhupada makes the point somewhere in this purport. Oh yeah. For our activity, we must have a body. Without a body, without sense organs, there is no activity. So, and with no activity, how are we going to engage in Krishna consciousness, or anything for that matter? So in other words, there is such a thing as necessary material desire in the sense of maintaining the material body so that one can practice Krishna consciousness nicely. You know, we see in some cases of devotees who somehow or other they got into some serious state of the material body becoming damaged or something like that. So the material body is now not able to function in devotional service easily or nicely, at least as it was previously. So we see that. We see there are cases there. Even, you know, there's one of our most senior devotees who you all know, who's such a vivid case of that. If he didn't have so many disciples to help him with practically everything, phew, don't ask me how he would live. It just, would be beyond the capacity of a normal human being. So we need a material body in order to engage in devotional service. At least in our conditioned state, we need a body. Ultimately, we need an eternal spiritual body, but for the time being, while we're still conditioned by this material world, we need a material body which is operational and able to function in devotional service. This whole subject, you know, would take us beyond our time limitation. But in the earlier, well, actually it's in this third canto and second canto. There's a description of the three Purushas, Adiatmic, Adidaivic, and Adibhautik Purushas. And ultimately the Supersoul. How there are these three Purushas. Adiatmic means the body, the gross and subtle bodies. Adibhautik means, well, no, wait a minute, sorry. Just rewind time. Just go back a minute or two. Adiatmic means the soul. Adiatmic means the conditioned soul, actually. Adibhautik means the body, and Adidaivic means the demigods and the senses that the demigods control. It's a fascinating description, and it's very interesting. So the point is made. The point is that for the soul, the conditioned soul, who is attached to this world and who cannot just get out of the world just like that, even the devotee who's still conditioned, for the soul, if the soul does not have a body, the conditioned soul, because the soul is conditioned and dependent on material existence, you know, ultimately it's an illusion, but now it's being accepted as a fact and strongly accepted. So if the conditioned soul doesn't have a material body, the conditioned soul can't function, becomes sort of paralyzed. Of course, if the body doesn't have a conditioned soul, then you got a dead body. It's even worse than paralyzed. And if the conditioned soul in the body does not have the demigods who are controlling the senses, which allow the body to function in different ways, then the conditioned soul, even with a body, again becomes sort of paralyzed. And even the demigods who are controlling the senses, if they don't have bodies with conditioned souls in them to control, they become also paralyzed or sort of unemployed. Unemployed. It's just, what are they going to do? They just got nothing to do at all. So they're all interdependent, all three are interdependent. And ultimately they all depend on the super soul, but the super soul does not depend on them. Anyway, perhaps we've diverged slightly, but our point is that in our conditioned state, even as devotees, we need a body. Otherwise, a gross body and subtle body. Otherwise, we won't be able to engage in devotional service. So, but Sankhya and ultimately Krishna consciousness is so useful, just invaluable for self-realization by people who want freedom from the entanglement with the unnecessary material desires. Yes, you know, we have specialized in unnecessary material desires since time immemorial. There's no desire, anyway, yeah, there's no desire that we have not had and tried to explore to the maximum degree possible. You know, at least hundreds or thousands of times in our sojourn in this material world. We are experienced. We have been there and done it all a multitude of times. But we still come back to try again. Maybe some fractional difference, or not even a difference, just try again so many times. So in this way, the conditioned souls are just entangled deeply, and it's almost inextricably in this network of unnecessary material desires within the unnecessary material world. So Srila Prabhupada, in the purport here, he refers to Bhagavad Gita, Antavanta ime deha nichis yokta sharirana. What comes next? Anashino prameyasya tasmad yudhyasva bharata, something like that. So, nityas yokta sharirana. We are eternal, but we have these temporary bodies. But in these temporary bodies, we have eternal desires. We want to enjoy and enjoy and enjoy and enjoy and enjoy just not just indefinitely, but actually eternally. This is what we really want. However, we are trying to fulfill that desire, those desires, in a situation which is not capable of fulfilling those desires. So it is like a recipe, a fail-safe recipe for hoping against hope. Yes, fail-safe, you know, means whatever you do, it always comes out. We used to, in the early 80s, what was it? No, it wasn't the early 80s. It was the late 80s, sort of around 1990 even. We had a preaching center in Yeovil, Johannesburg, and every Tuesday we would go to Wits University and sell prasadam. And every week our cook would bake bread, a black bread, Yeah, a black, like a rye bread. The problem was the oven sort of didn't hold together properly. So you have to keep everything stable when you're baking within the oven. And if you open the door, the whole thing may fail. So this was like, the door was just, it would creep open and, So regularly, even more often than not, the bread in the middle would sink. Which means it's failed, because it should rise, and the whole thing should have risen. Around the edge, anyway, in the middle, this whole sunken thing would be. But we didn't want to throw it away, so we took it to the university and sold it, and told the students, this is Russian peasant bread. And they loved it. And they would come every week. Do you have any of that Russian peasant bread? So it's like fail safe. Whichever way it comes out, it's a success. So anyway. Right. Yes. Yeah, so this is this desire to enjoy eternally. Just enjoy, first of all, constantly, with no just ups and downs, and definitely no suffering, dukkha, misery. Constantly and without end. Constantly and without end. One is hoping against hope. There's no hope. There's no real hope. They say the last thing that dies is hope. So there is no hope that it's going to work out. You know, and if it's not just because you encounter so many problems in the meantime while trying to enjoy on the material level, but ultimately there's death. And if death isn't, death. But even in the meantime, old age, that's bad enough. That's bad enough, my gosh. And then there's death. As described, is it in the 8th canto? Anyway, it's described in the Bhagavatam that there are personalities behind all these things. The personality of fear, the personality of disease, the personality of old age, and ultimately the personality of death. And the personality of old age is an elderly lady, and the personality of death is her brother. And there it's written that when, as your body ages and you reach that point of old age, then it means that the personality of old age is embracing you. How nice to meet you. Oh, I'm so happy to have your association. And as that all goes on, then her embrace becomes tighter, and she says, I want to introduce you to someone, a really nice person, a really interesting person. He's my brother. I want to introduce you to my brother, Death. And she hands you over to Death, and that's it. So, yes, it's one thing that we have to die, but it's another thing, just struggling in this world, trying to enjoy in the meantime. That's bad enough, but then you die. So we need an eternal body to fulfill the eternal desires We need eternal bodies. Srila Prabhupada gave the famous example, you've all heard it, of the man who drives into his garage at night. There's no light in the garage. He gets out of the car, he wants to lock the car or whatever, but he drops the keys, and it's just totally dark in the garage. He's fumbling around, he can't find the keys, but then he sees out on the street, there's this nice street light illuminating the area around it. And so he goes out and he looks there. And his friend comes by and asks him, so what happened? You lost something? Yes, lost the keys. Oh, okay, where did you lose them? Oh, up in the garage. Well, why are you looking here? Because at least there's light here. This is going on in material existence. There's no hope. But to us, we think, oh yeah, it looks like the best situation. And well, in a sense, we have no choice at this stage. But we're looking for something very valuable in the wrong place. In the place where that thing doesn't exist. We're looking for eternal, constant happiness in the material world. And the whole attempt is doomed to failure from the outset. There's not even a small chance, 0.1%, that maybe you might find it. So, for people who appreciate that this type of entanglement is really undesirable, dangerous, and just got to be, we got to get free from it. So Sankhya understanding, or just a philosophical understanding of what is this world, and how does it work, and what am I, and what is my position? What should it be? How can I function? And who is in charge of all this? How is it working? Under whose direction? Sankhya, that philosophical understanding, is extremely valuable, extremely helpful, that Sambandha Gyan. Without Sambandha Gyan, an attempt at Krishna consciousness, well, it may not work, because as you go on, you encounter situations and you have to understand how to deal with those situations in Krishna consciousness. And if you don't, well, you may not be able to go beyond that point. You may fall back, fall away. So therefore, philosophy of Krishna consciousness is so important. And Srila Prabhupada just again and again and again emphasizing even the same things, but then also from different perspectives. It's extremely helpful. Yes. What is the real truth? Real truth is knowledge of how to get out of the material body, which is the source of all trouble. Hare Krishna. I think that's all. We went 3 minutes over time, I'm sorry. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.